ಓಂ ಸಹನೋವತು ಸಹನೋ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಅಹಮೇವ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಖ್ಯಮೌಯಯಂ ಇತಿ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ನಿಶ್ಚಿತೋ ಮುಕ್ತೋ ಬದ್ಧ ಏವಾನ್ಯಥಾ ಭವೇತ್. ಅಹಮೇವ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನಿಶ್ಚಿತಂ ಚಿತ್ತಚಿಂತ್ಯತಾಂ ಚಿದ್ರೂಪತ್ವಾದ ಸಂಗತ್ವಾದ್ ಅಬಾಧ್ಯತ್ವಾತ್ ಪ್ರಯತ್ನತಃ. ಅಹಮೇವ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನ ಚಾಹಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಃ ಪೃಥಕ್ ಇತ್ಯೇವಂ ಸಮುಪಾಸೀತ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಿ ಸ್ಥಿತಃ. ಸರ್ವೋಪಾಧಿ ವಿನಿರ್ಮುಕ್ತಂ ಚೈತನ್ಯಂ ಚ ನಿರಂತರಂ ತತ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಹಮಿತಿ ಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾ ಕಥಂ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮೀ ಭವೇತ್. ಅಹಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಸ್ಮಿ ಯೋ ವೇದ ಸ ಸರ್ವಂ ಭವತಿ ತ್ವಿದಂ ನಾಭೂತ್ಯಾ ಈಶತೆ ದೇವಾಃ ತೇಷಾಮಾತ್ಮಾ ಭವೇದ್ಧಿ ಸಹ. ಅನ್ಯೋಸಾವಹಮನ್ಯೋಸ್ಮೀತಿ ಉಪಾಸ್ತೇಯೋನ್ಯದೇವತಾಂ ನ ಸ ವೇದ ನರೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸದೇವಾನಾಂ ಯಥಾ ಪಶುಃ. ಅಹಮಾತ್ಮಾ ನ ಚಾನ್ಯೋಸ್ಮಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮೈವಾಹಂ ನ ಶೋಕಭಾಕ್ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪೋಹಂ ನಿತ್ಯಮುಕ್ತಸ್ವಭಾವವಾನ್. ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಸತತಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಸತತಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸಂಭಾವ್ಯ ವಿಹರಂತಿಯೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸಂಭಾವ್ಯ ವಿಹರಂತಿಯೇ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಸತತಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸಂಭಾವ್ಯ ವಿಹರಂತಿಯೇ ನ ತೇಷಾಂ ದುಷ್ಕೃತಂ ಕಿಂಚಿತ್ ದುಷ್ಕೃತೋತ್ಥಾನ ಚಾಪದಃ. ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಸತತಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸಂಭಾವ್ಯ ವಿಹರೇತ್ ಸುಖಂ க்ஷணம் ப்ரஹ்மாஹமஸ்மீதி ந குர்யாத் ஆத்ம சிந்தனம். சரி, யஹ் குர்யாத் ஆத்ம சிந்தனம் க்ஷணம் ப்ரஹ்மாஹமஸ்மீதி யஹ் குர்யாத் ஆத்ம சிந்தனம் தன் மஹா பாதகம் ஹந்தி தமஸ் சூர்யாதயோ யதா. So until this verse, repeatedly, how Aham, this I, the Jiva, is non-separate from Brahma. How the Jiva is essentially Brahma. This identity between the truth of the whole, the essence, the reality of the whole, the essential reality of the macrocosmic being, being non-separate from this jiva, the jiva being non-separate from the Brahma, the truth of the individual obtaining as the truth of I and the truth of the whole is being one and the same, is repeatedly discussed in all these verses. We can always say Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikyam has been discussed in all these verses. Truth of the individual and the truth of the whole being one and the same, total being one and the same, is discussed in all these verses. So the benefit of this vision also has been mentioned here. If a person discovers this truth of the whole being implied by the term Brahma, being the truth of the self, one's own self, the truth of the I, that person will have a different perspective of the self and the world. Thereby he would be free from all the wrong notions he entertains about the self. Thereby he would be free from the notion I am the doership and the enjoyership. Thereby he would be free from all the punya papams in terms of sanchitam karma, agami karma. He'll become free from all the punya papams. That's why na dushkutottha na chapadaha. Means what? He will be free from all punya papams. So he'll be free from all forms of pairs of opposites also. He'll not be afflicted by the results of punya papams. So sanchita agami papa nivritti. He'll become free from all forms of punya papams. How does he become free from all forms of punya papams? There are people who say, but only by exhausting the punya papams, one can become free from punya papams. But here, Vedanta, what it is said here, you need not exhaust all the punya papams. If you are free from the notion that I am the enjoyer, if you are free from the notion I am the doer, then you are free from punya papams. Just by resolving the wrong notions one entertains about the self in terms of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, one becomes free from all punya papam, sanchitam karma, agami karma. When he discovers this fact, still he has what? The parabdha karma palam has been exhausted, but still he is not afflicted by parabdha karma palam also because of his objectivity. Because of his objectivity, he is not affected by the parabdha karma phalam also. It means he becomes free from the bondage of karma for good while living. It's called Jivan Muktaha. Then there's no more pain and no more pleasure. That's the benefit of this vision of oneness of the truth also is mentioned here. And hereafter, like how in any Upanishad, Srishti Prakriya is discussed, in this text also, Acharya, in the following verses, is going to establish not only the truth of the individual is identical to the truth of the whole, in fact, the entire objective universe also is Brahma. Not only the knower I is Brahma, even the known universe also is Brahma. You have to resolve the universe also. So resolution of universe in Brahma means resolving the very matter in consciousness. Because you know, knower is a conscious being. So we understood all these classes, we understood very clearly, there is a knower. Definitely there is a knower. And there is an experiencer. Yesterday is what we stopped. Who is this knower? So we have to understand with reference to this entire objective universe, every individual has to say, I the self, I am the knower, I am the knower. And I is the only pronoun used by all the individuals to refer to one's own self. No individual uses any other pronoun other than I to refer to one's own self. Any language also. All the individuals use only one pronoun, first person singular pronoun I to refer to one's own self. Why there are many pronouns to refer to one's own self? To refer to other person, we have so many pronouns. He, she, it, that, these, those, etc. But to refer to one's own self, there's only one pronoun, which is I, the first person singular pronoun I. And if that is, if you take it as a substantive, as an expression, as a word, and a word is what? An expression. And if for the expression to be there, the expression in terms of word to be there, there must be manifestation of knowledge in the form of a thought. That manifestation of knowledge in the form of thought is said to be rising of the thought. If there is no manifestation of knowledge in the form of a thought, then there cannot be expression in terms of word. The expression in terms of word presupposes the manifestation of knowledge in the form of a thought. And manifestation of knowledge in the form of a thought is possible only if there is a source of manifestation, the source of knowledge. This is the secret. And we understand here, because this I is not, even though this I as an expression is not there always, because the manifestation is not there always, there is a time there is no manifestation. Whenever there is no manifestation, what happens to this I? It is there. It is there or not? It is very much there. It is there as pure knowledge. Where can you resolve the I sense? You say, this I sense has been resolved only in its source, the pure knowledge. You know, we can say, I sense has to be resolved in its own truth. And what is the truth? What is the reality in which the I sense resolves? When it is not there. It is not there means it is not non-existent. It is not available for interaction, not available for transaction. It is there, but is not available means it remains resolved. When it is resolved, where does it resolve? It has to resolve in its own swarupam, its own truth, its own reality. And what is that reality? Abstract, subtle, formless, okay, how is it? We understand that reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, it is implied by the term jnanam, chaitanyam, chit, the knowledge. That is why even Taittiriya Upanishad, even though there is a definition of Brahman is given as satyam jnanam anantam brahma, even though definition is given, we have to understand first chit only. Jnanam only you have to understand first. You can never understand sat first. We have to understand the reality in terms of its nature of knowledge first. Then you have to understand how it is this knowledge, it is this pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which is pure existence. They are not two different things. Existence is consciousness. As well as they said, what is the meaning of the word existence? What is the meaning of the word consciousness? What is meant by the word consciousness and existence is actually a formless, abstract, inexplicable, indescribable, imperceptible, unobjectifiable, inconceivable, the truth, the very essence of the very thought, very knowledge. This is pure knowledge. Therefore, this estate was made very clear. There is no knower other than the reality obtaining in the form of knowledge. Knowledge also, you cannot use any word to mean the knowledge, to indicate the reality. And we are using this expression, knowledge. We are means in the Shastram, this word knowledge, chaitanyam, chit, etc., are used to imply reality only in terms of its nature. Because knowing is the nature. For jnanam brahma, chaitanyam brahma, chaitanya atma. You know, atma is also about all pervasive, because of its all pervasive, this atma. Anyway, what I want to say, we understand that swarupam of I, the truth of I, is the formless, abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. Therefore, you have to say what? You can say, I am knowledge. Pure knowledge. I am knowledge. I am consciousness. I am this reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Now you have resolved in knower. Now the question comes, even though every individual uses only one pronoun I to refer to one's own self, we say the truth of I obtaining in every antahkaranam, every mind is what? The one and the same. Therefore, how many knowers are here now? There's only knower. There are many knowers. Absolutely. Relatively, we can say relatively, suppose if you know chemistry, if you know medicine, if you know physics, we can say there's one person is a knower of chemistry, other person is a knower of physics, other person is a knower of biology. That is not relative. In the realm of the matter, absolutely, how many knowers are there? Okay, absolutely, the knower is one and the only consciousness. Like how the known objects are many, but still the knower is one. The one who obtains, that which obtains enjoying the status of being the knower in every mind, in every individual, is essentially one and the only reality, the consciousness. Is it clear? This must be very clear. Therefore, now we've already established what? The knower is resolved intellectually in its truth, being consciousness. Implied by the term Brahma or Atma, therefore you can say, I the knower am Atma, I the knower am Brahma. Now, what about the known universe? What is this known? You say the known means anything known is jadam. Anything known is what? Jadam. Yad drishyam tad jadam. This definition very clearly given. Yad drishyam tad jadam. Anything known is of the nature of inertness. So knower is consciousness we established. Anything known is jadam. Jadam means what? Doesn't know existence of its own self. That which does not have the capacity to reveal its presence by itself is jadam. And the entire objective universe, including our body, mind, sense complex, you have to say what? The entire objective universe is of the nature of inertness, because it is drishyam. Drishyatvat jadatvam. Because of its status of being the known, it is of the nature of inertness. See, now, how do you say it is of the nature of inertness? Because it is of the nature of, it enjoys the status of being the known. Body comes under the category of the known. Mind, sense organs, physiological functions, even subtle. Your subtle aspects, all the thoughts also. Anything known is what? Anything known is, except the eye cognition, all other thoughts are what? Objects of Arjuna. Jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, all the thoughts which constitute the mind, objects of knowledge. Physiological functions, objects of knowledge. The body is object of knowledge. The entire objective universe external to the body, mind, sense complex is object of knowledge. So, drishyatvat jadatvam means the entire universe having the status of being the known is of the nature of inertness. It means the world doesn't have the capacity to reveal its presence by itself. The world doesn't have independent existence of its own. It means for the world, for this entire objective universe, to have this status of being the existent, the world should become the known. For the world to become the known, there must be knowledge of the existence of the world. For the knowledge of the existence of the world to be there, there must be the knower. Is it clear now? So the existence of the known presupposes the existence of the knowledge of the world. For the knowledge of the world to rise, there must be the knower. Is it clear now? Therefore, the existence of the known presupposes the existence of the knower. The known has no independent existence of its own. If the known can exist independently without the knower being there, then the known can be counted as a parallel reality. Known can be counted as a second reality, second thing, other than the knower. But known can never exist independently without the knower being there. Wherever opaque thing shines, for any opaque thing, to enjoy the state, I'm not saying to enjoy the existence, for any opaque thing, to enjoy the status of being the existent, there must be what? Light. If the opaque thing shines, means what cannot be removed, what is along with the opaque thing, what shines is what? The light. Isn't it true? You cannot separate, distance the light from the opaque, opaque from the light. Opaque shines means opaque shines only in the light. Therefore, light does not create the opaque thing. Please be careful. Light does not create the opaque. But light must be there for the opaque thing to shine, to enjoy the status of being existent. If there's no light, opaque will be as good as non-existent. Similarly here, the entire world of objects, the objective universe, doesn't have independent existence of its own. For it to enjoy the status of being existent, it is dependent on the knower. And there's no knower other than reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, implied by the term Brahma or Atma. Therefore, here we say this existence, the whole jagat is also, if these two words are used, then the knower Atma is Satyam, the known universe is Mithya. The knower Atma is Satyam, the knower consciousness implied by the term Atma or Brahman is Satyam. The known universe, which has a dependent existence, is Mithya. When you say Mithya means what? Mithya means it is not unreal, it is as good as non-existent. We can say the Mithya is to be understood as the appearance of the Satyam. Mithya should be understood as the appearance of the Satyam. It is like when you say the ocean, ocean is a form, ocean is a word denoting a form. And the name and the form serving its own given purpose. Nama, Rupam, Karma. Name denoting a given form, serving a given purpose, will be impossible without one substance called water. Therefore, you remove the substance called water, the form, name and function called ocean will be non-substantial thing. There's no substance for the word ocean. Remove the water as a substance. Then will there be substance for, is there a substance called ocean minus water? Is there a substance called ocean minus water? That's why we call what? Non-substantial form, name and function, which is called what? Appearance, which is called Mithya. Is it clear? Substance is Satyam. With reference to ocean, water is Satyam. The form, name and function called ocean is Mithya. Exactly here also, what is Satyam with reference to this entire jagat, objective universe? The most tangible, grossest, perceptible world of innumerable, countless forms, names and functions which constitute the entire whole is also Mithya. Mithya means what? As good as non-existent. Minus consciousness, the world will be, the term cosmos, the term universe, the term world, indicating a given form, constituted of innumerable countless forms, names and functions, serving the corresponding functions, purposes, also will be as good as non-existent. Already as good as non-existent. Minus the substance called consciousness, you cannot find a substance. There is no substance for the word universe. There is no substance called universe. Can you accept this? Exactly. How there is no substance called ocean? You cannot find this. Go and search for the substance for the word ocean minus water. There is no substance. Similarly, minus consciousness implied by the term Brahma or Atma, there is no substance called universe. There is no substance called world. There is no substance called cosmos. Which means you cannot say water is ocean, but the whole ocean is water only. Similarly here, the entire cosmos, Brahma, the abstract, subtlest, all pervasive reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, implied by the term Atma or Brahma, is not the universe, not anything in the world, but the entire universe, the entire world is nothing but Brahma. Universe also is Brahma. Because universe is dependent on consciousness, to have the status of being existent, to come to light, to shine, thereby to enjoy the status of being existent, the universe is absolutely dependent on the knower consciousness. Therefore, the knower consciousness is looked upon as is as good as the cause, not the cause, as good as the cause. The universe which is dependent is as good as the effect. Consciousness is not the cause, universe is not the effect. But still, okay, the cause of the universe is, and the consciousness is as good as the cause. The universe is as good as the effect. Why? Because universe is dependent on consciousness to come to light. And even if you say, oh, there is a karnakarya sambandha, there is a cause-effect relationship between Brahman and the universe. If you say, then you can say what? No effect can ever exist independently without the cause. If you see, look at any effect, effect is nothing but the cause. Any ornament is nothing but the gold. You can reduce, you can see the whole door is wood. The chair is plastic. You resolve the effect in its cause. Resolve the effect in its cause. And resolve the effect in its cause, you have to say there is no effect. Why? It has been resolved in its cause. Once you resolve the effect in its cause, there is no effect, means effect is negated. When the effect is not there, then you have to say there is no cause also. Then what is there? What is only there. Similarly here, if you take this chair also, first you can say this chair is a nice product. It is made very well, beautifully made. You appreciate how skillful the person who has made it. You can talk about all those things. And you see the chair, whole chair you see. Oh, this looks blue in color. This is nothing but plastic. You touch the whole chair, it's nothing but plastic. This whole chair is plastic, you have resolved the form chair along with its word, along with the function, purpose it serves. Okay, form, name and function, all the three are resolved in one thing, one substance called a plastic. Know why? Know why you have to resolve it? Remove the plastic from here. After removing the plastic, will there be chair here? You remove the plastic, you take away the plastic, I'll come and sit here. That is why the form, name and function called chair is resolvable in one substance called plastic, and you can say no chair. That means what? The chair is as though, okay? Which means there is no effect. The effect status has been resolved. Once the effect is not there, what can you call it a cause then? The causal status attributed to the plastic also is resolved. Causal status attributed to the plastic also is resolved. The effect is resolved. Then finally, what can you say? What is only plastic in the form of a chair. Is it clear? The same way here, because this whole universe is dependent on Brahma, the consciousness, to shine, to come to light, thereby to have the status of being existent, to enjoy the existence. We say the whole universe is dependent, there is no independent existence, it is looked upon as the effect. The standpoint of the universe, the causal status is attributed to Brahma. So Brahman is as good as the cause. Then you say, the whole universe is Brahma. The whole chair is blue color plastic. So the whole jagat is what now? Whole jagat is Brahma. Whole jagat is Brahma means there is no more jagat. There is only Brahma. There is no effect called jagat. There is no Brahman which is the cause. There is no cause also. Causal status attributed to Brahman also is resolved. Jagat also is resolved. What is there now? What is there is only Brahma in the form of the universe. Is it clear? Now one more thing I'll tell you. When you see the waves, innumerable waves in the water, in the ocean, now all the waves are moving and making noise running all over. And for us, not only the plurality of the waves is real, not only the wave-wave difference, wave-ocean difference is real for us, even the movement on the part of the waves also is very real for us. Jumping and running, everything is very real for us. And the person who has a clear understanding, the whole ocean is water. There is no ocean or wave. Wave-ocean, wave difference is mithya. Because wave form itself is mithya. Therefore, wave-wave difference is mithya. Wave-ocean difference is mithya. The ocean form is mithya. If everything is mithya, what about the movement on the part of the waves? It's also mithya. So what is it? Mithya means what? Seemingly real. There's a seeming movement, there's a seeming ocean, there's a seeming wave, seeming differences. What is really there is only one substance called water. The whole ocean with all the differences can be reduced to what now? One thing called water, satyam. The same way here, all the differences here. How many differences are here? Jiva Ishvara Beda, Jiva Jagat Beda, Jagat Brahma Beda. With all the differences, all the divisions, all the movements, all the actions, all the functions, all the results and even the laws which determine the results of actions, on all the experiences, all the experiences we go through in terms of pairs of opposites, pain, pleasure, loss, gain, etc. All our experiences, all the moments, all the emotions, all the activities, everything in this universe is mithya. Mithya means seemingly real, not absolutely real. Mithya means not unreal. Not unreal, not non-existent, but seemingly real. There's no real movement, there's no real action, there's no real pain, real pleasure, no real experience. Everything is seemingly there. What is real then? It only, Brahman is only reality. In fact, the whole universe is seeming motion. In motionless consciousness, which is Brahma. Brahma alone is Satyam. You resolve the Jagat also in Brahma. We don't deny the perception of duality, divisions, but we can say what? Without denying our perception, our experience, accepting our perception, accepting our experiences, from the standpoint of the truth, we can say that all duality is a seeming duality. There's no real, absolutely real duality. It's not there. The standpoint of reality, we have to say, all that is there is only Brahma. One reality. Ekam Brahma. Ekam means what? Secondless. There's no second parallel reality, which is parallel to consciousness, which itself is existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness. There's no parallel reality. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma is one reality, the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, which is the pure existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless, therefore implied by the term Brahma, Atma, and that reality is what? One. There's a second parallel reality, therefore Advitiyam Brahma. Because there's no second parallel reality, Advitiyam, we say what? Advayam, non-dual reality. Why do you say non-dual? There's no second thing other than Brahma. There's no second parallel reality when you say, what is the expression you use? Advitiyam. Dvitiyam means second. Okay, first you say reality is one. Then you say what? Secondless. There is no parallel another reality. So secondless, Advitiyam. Not least, there is no second reality. There is no second thing other than Brahma. Advayam. Ekam, Advitiyam, Advayam, Brahma. Is it clear now? Is it clear or not?
Yes.
Why Advitiyam? Why Advayam? You should know the difference. Why secondless reality? Why only reality? One reality is one, then secondless, non-dual. How do you say non-dual? Because we are always experiencing, we are experiencing the world. It is not absolutely unreal. The plurality, the divisions, the differences, the experience of pairs of opposites, they are not unreal. They are non-existent. We are experiencing. This way, 8:45 we had to go to 8 o'clock. We had to go for breakfast because we are experiencing hunger. We can't say it's unreal. No, hunger is unreal. Swamiji never liked the expression. There are people who translate this. They say world is unreal. They'll translate. Swamiji never liked the expression unreal. World is unreal means you are saying all experiences are unreal. Your hunger is unreal. Your thirst is unreal. Your experience of pain is unreal. You know what is unreal? Unreal means that which does not exist at all is unreal. This is Swamiji made, this is the definition very clear. I was very young when I heard him saying this. I was in high school. That which does not exist at all is unreal. Like rabbit's horn. It's called tucham in Sanskritam. Tucham. In Tamil expression, somebody doesn't respect you. You feel others are okay. If you feel disrespected. And they say, for them, I'm asked that I'm non-existent here. Tuchya madikiranga. Somehow in Sanskrit, Tamil, all sorts of expressions are there. Do you use that? Sri Lanka? Okay. Now what I'm saying, tuchya means non-entity, okay? Non-existent. Tuchya means non-existent. In fact, Shastram, we are going to see, there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. That is the most beautiful thing you are going to understand. Understand? Therefore, unreal means that which does not exist at all is unreal. So, rabbit's horn is an example for that. We have slokam also for that. This is sloka. Vandiyaputraha yati. Son of a barren woman is walking. Shashashringa dhanurdharaha. He is walking having a bow made of rabbit's horn. And he had dip also in what? Mrigatrishnambasi snataha. Had dip in mirage water. And holding a flower, sky flower. Kaf pushpadhari. Is it possible for somebody holding this, to hold this space as flower? It's all example for tucham. Tucham means unreal. That's why the word asat has two meanings. One is mithya, another meaning is tucham. So it's unreal. So it is not unreal, the word. When people translate the world is unreal, Swamiji never liked it. He wanted us to retain the word mithya is always mithya. People who edit, when I see the word unreal, for me big itching comes in Swamiji's works because Swamiji never liked it. I remember him saying it very clearly. Because when you say mithya, it is neither real nor unreal. Okay, as though real, which means relatively real, empirically real. That is why what? Hunger is not unreal. If it's unreal, then eating also will be what? Therefore, eating also is mithya, that's a different thing, not unreal. Is it clear now? If the world is not unreal, it is empirically real, relatively real, we use expression vyavaharikam satyam. Vyavaharikam satyam means what? It is empirically real. And what is paramarthikam satyam? What is absolutely real? This is Brahma. It is this abstract, formless reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, which is arrive, which can be arrived at only as the truth of I. Is it clear now? This is what is Brahma, and that is the only reality. There is no other reality here. That consciousness which you arrive at as the truth of I is the only reality of the whole cosmos. How do you say that? Because it is secondless reality. There is no second parallel reality other than consciousness, which itself is existence. And there is no second thing other than the reality. Therefore, advayam brahma. Advitiyam means secondless, advayam means non-dual. Why do you say non-dual? Because still we are experiencing the world, therefore the doubt comes, because there is entire objective universe. Okay, don't give the importance to the world as equal. It's not parallel reality. Can you say there's something second other than Brahma, something else is there, the world? No. You can't count this world as a second thing or other than Brahma. Something other than, something else is there other than Brahma. Can we count it? Can we say other than water, there's something called ocean is? The ocean form is? What is ocean? Minus water. If I say there's only water, you don't like it. How can you say only water? It's a water plus a plus form, ocean. Something else is there. Similarly, there's only Brahma means only Brahman is there. Brahman, there's something, the universe is. You want to say, because you, very difficult, it's very painful to say, to deny your experience. It's very painful to deny your own perception. You're experiencing. So you don't like to say that there's no world. And yet we call it a material universe. Okay? Drishyatvat jadatvam. Because jada, what to say? We call the entire material world. The known is reduced to what now? Matter. The knower is consciousness, the known is reduced to matter. The inert matter. The entire objective universe, mean objective knowledge, is said to be what? Is the matter which is of the nature of inertness. Can we say consciousness and matter are two things? No. Matter is not a second parallel reality, not even a second thing other than consciousness. Therefore, say it is. Are they one? When you reduce the whole object universe into one word as matter, can we say consciousness and matter are two then? They're not two. Are they one? Definitely not one. Consciousness and matter are not one. Why? Because consciousness is consciousness and matter is of the nature of inertness. How can we say inert matter and consciousness are one? How can we say that? They are not one. Are they two? They are not two. Not two means what? The two orders of the same reality. Two orders of the same reality. Give two different names, Satyam and Mithya. Okay? That's why not two means what? Advaitam. Advaitam means not two. Means non-dual. Why can't we say the matter is second thing, second parallel reality? No. If matter has independent existence, without the consciousness, then you can count matter as a parallel reality. Matter has no independent existence. Just as opaque world of objects doesn't have independent existence outside of the light, this entire inert world of objects doesn't have independent existence outside of consciousness, therefore it is not countable as a parallel reality. Therefore you have to say what? The whole world is mithya. Not true. Is it clear now? So ekam advitiyam advaitam brahma satyam. Aham tad brahma asmi. I am that one secondless parallel non-dual reality, consciousness, existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness, thereby implied by the term Brahma. I am that Brahma. And the whole cosmos is that Brahma. Therefore, I the self am the whole. I am the whole. Not H-O-L-E. If you understand, we are W-H-O-L-E. If you have not understood, we are H-O-L-E. Is it clear now? Now, this has to be understood. He is going to say now. This is all preparation for the following verses. See, in the previous verse, you have to see one more example. When he says, once the vision of the self being the pure consciousness implied by the term Atma Brahman becomes very clear, in the light of the knowledge, you see, the ignorance will resolve. Ignorance causes samsara also will resolve for good. And for which he gives the example of Yatha Suryodaye Tamaha. When the sun rises, as the sun rises, as sun rises, darkness disappears. Which means sunrise does not destroy the darkness. Please understand. Sun does not destroy the darkness. Sun rises, darkness disappears. Is it clear now? Similarly, when the knowledge rises, the vision of the, in the wake of the knowledge of the self being consciousness, resolve your essence and the knower, I in consciousness reality, what happens? Knowledge does not destroy ignorance. Ignorance resolves. Nothing is destroyed here. Okay, so in the beginning we say light destroys darkness. It's all very gross expressions. You understand, okay? And in the wake of the knowledge, ignorance resolves. Ignorance disappears. Then what is only light? Is it clear? But what happened to the darkness? Light doesn't come and destroy, kill and destroy and push the darkness out. No. The sun rises. In the presence of the light, darkness disappears. Then only light is. Similarly, in the wake of the knowledge of the self, when you clearly see this fact, there is no I really other than consciousness. There is no knower other than consciousness. This knower is only a qualification attributed to the consciousness, the truth, from the standpoint of the known experiences we have. It, when this vision becomes very clear, the wake of the vision of this fact of the self being consciousness, Brahma, ignorance disappears, resolves. When once ignorance resolves, means afterwards what is only knowledge. Only knowledge. Is it clear now? That is why knowledge is the greatest miracle. There is no greater miracle than knowledge. What happened to ignorance? Ignorance, understand now, ignorance resolves means what is only knowledge afterwards. In a sense, you will see how what is only knowledge really. The whole cosmos is only jnanam. I see, I'm saying, I wish I can make you see what exactly I'm saying. Don't worry. If you have not understood, don't worry. Keep on listening. But I want to explain that example also. It's such a simple example. From childhood, we know this example. It's not a new example. The whole world, everywhere, we know. Sun rises, darkness disappears. We know this example. But we never understood. Once sun rises, sun doesn't destroy the ignorance. Ignorance is like the darkness. Darkness disappears. When darkness goes, then what is only light afterwards? The same way here also we have to appreciate the fact of what is knowledge. You can look at every small thing as jnanam. Jnanam means what? Manifestation of knowledge. Swamiji, there's nobody who really gave the vision of what Ishvara is beautifully. So Ishvaraha, now let me tell you, Ishvaraha means, literally means the ruler, the one who rules. One who rules means the Lord. Who is the ruler? Who is the Lord? There is no Lord, there is no ruler other than the truth. And this knowledge, the pure knowledge manifest is what? Manifest knowledge. The whole cosmos is manifestation of knowledge means then the manifest knowledge is given the title what? Ishvara. Therefore, instead of saying everything is knowledge means everything is manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear? Everything is manifestation of knowledge means everything is knowledge means everything is manifestation of knowledge. And manifestation of knowledge means everything is Ishvara. Therefore we say what is only knowledge means what is only the knowledge, only the truth. What is only Brahma, we say what is only Ishvara. That's why God is not one, gods are not many, what is only God. Is it clear now? Manifest knowledge is Ishvara, the pure knowledge is implied, the source of manifestation, the pure knowledge is implied by the term Brahma. Now it must be very clear for you. When do we use expression Brahma? When do we use the expression Ishvara? So Ishvara is Brahma, but Brahman is not Ishvara. Is it clear? Why? Pure knowledge is not manifest knowledge. But manifestation of knowledge is pure knowledge. Water is not the wave, but the wave is water. Is it clear now? You have to see this. Pure knowledge is not manifest knowledge. But manifest knowledge is nothing but pure knowledge. So, Brahman is not Ishvara. But Ishvara is Brahma. Ishvara is only a qualification, title attributed to the reality manifest. Namo the whole. If this understanding is there, you can look at this post as Bhagavan, this picture as Bhagavan, the one in the picture is as Bhagavan. This temple is Bhagavan. You can see yourself being Bhagavan. You can see your own body being Bhagavan. Your every cell is Bhagavan. Your hair is Bhagavan. Your nose is Bhagavan. The dirt is Bhagavan. There is nothing which is not Bhagavan here. Every inner thing I look at as Bhagavan. You can see every living creature is Bhagavan. Every tree is Bhagavan. When you say everything is Bhagavan, means everything, if you are able to appreciate the fact of everything being manifestation of knowledge, then you can see it as Bhagavan. You must see this, everything is manifestation of knowledge. Word is expression of manifestation of knowledge. The form denoted by the word is also what? Manifestation of knowledge. The purpose it serves is also manifestation of knowledge. So every action is manifestation of knowledge. The result of action is manifestation of knowledge. The law which is there determining the result of action is manifestation of knowledge. Every law is Ishvara. You can look at everything as Ishvara. Understanding Ishvara is very, very, very important. I don't know, people, this is how the Upanishad teaches. Because everywhere, Ishvara, the Lord, God means they have very, very, their own view, very strong view, and which contradicts the reasoning. Therefore, there are people who don't want to accept the very Ishvara at all. They don't want to accept the Ishvara because the other people have their own views of God. And their other views of God, views of Lord, contradict the reasoning. Contradict science. Therefore, this is a struggle. It's very difficult to accept something which contradicts your reasoning. It's a pain. If I force you to accept something which contradicts your reasoning, it's a pain. Who would like to accept the pain? Nobody will like to have the pain. That is why there has been war in the name of religion everywhere. So because of this problem, even people who come to Vedanta, they think that God is something which contradicts the reasoning. They don't want to accept God. But you don't, with reference to other views of God which contradict the reasoning, it is non-acceptable. Whereas in Vedanta, you have to accept God. You have to accept means what? That is why when you see the God, for us, what is only God, only the Lord, means you see yourself being non-separate from that Lord, the whole. Here, the concept of Lord is a fact to be understood. Where you understand, where you see yourself being non-separate from the God, you see the whole as only Bhagavan here. If you see God being different from you, then you are pashuhu, devanam pashuhu. You are animal. You are like animal, just as animal is for the human beings. So you are like an animal for